this week, I'm going to go ahead and start in with our sermon today, man. The first week we started, we've been talking about faith the past couple of weeks, and I talked about faith, what it is, and how it works in our lives, and how it doesn't work in our lives. And then Pastor John talked last week about some areas where God showed him how to walk his faith out in the past 6 months. And so of this year, and been gone through some tough times, but the faith that he had in God brought him and his family through, and how those principles can be used in our life as well. And then this week I want to talk about one verse. It's faith part three. I want to talk about one verse. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "Faith without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him or earnestly seek him." What is that telling? What does that first say? Really quick, just the bullet point. It says, first, we must genuinely, sincerely believe in God. We must believe that he's there. The second thing is we must believe that God responds to his people and rewards them. And the third thing really quickly is to receive God's rewards, we must diligently seek him. Let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us hear your word and hear these principles, Father God, and hear what you're trying to say to us about our life and how to live it out to be who you created us to be. Help us understand this now and help us be able to apply it this week in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, anyone who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists. When we think about Abraham, when we first look at that, Abraham lived in Mesopotamia. He was called. God said, go to this place, and when you get there, I'll tell you that you're there. This is from a God he knew nothing about. It's not like he was raised in church and he knew what was happening. This was a God that was new to him, really. There were many gods. There were it's full of idolatry and different things like that. And God revealed himself to Abraham, and Abraham believed God. It says this in Romans 4:3. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. But see, he didn't just believe and say, God, I believe. What did he do? He stepped out, like we talked about. He stepped out and said, God, I believe. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. We look at the thief on the cross, hanging next to Jesus, one on both sides. This is in Luke 23. 40 through 43, and this is what he said. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. This is what he said. One of the thieves is mocking Jesus and saying, well, take us down if you're really him, if you're really God. Do what you can do. And the guy on the other side said, he said, do you not fear God? Do you not understand there is a God, and he's bigger than all of this? And then he turned to Jesus and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. And that's all it took. What did Jesus say? Today you will be with me in paradise. Because he believed that there was a God, and he asked. He believed there was a God, and he asked. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists, that he's there. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of things that we do not see. You know, I can't see God. I don't see him. He hasn't, one of his angels hasn't come and stood in front of me, you know, like Pastor John talked about last week. And I've never seen God physically. But, you know, I've seen God in my life. I've seen, first of all, his creation. The ultimate assurance of certainty we need in our hearts is faith in the very existence of him. And how do I see that in what he created? You look up at the stars, man. You look at the sky. You look at the fact that this year we've seen as far, it doesn't go any farther. The universe is as far. Oh, no, wait. No, we see some more, right? It's continually growing. It's continually there. It's bigger than we can even imagine. And God created it. We see it. Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens declares the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. So we were leaving a funeral yesterday. Miss Loretta's mother passed away. And man, if you were involved in any area of that, thank you so much. We had some ladies clean the house. We called a few ladies and 11 ladies showed up and cleaned. You know, 11 ladies showed up to take care of her. We had some people bring some dinner, man, and some food and different things. We've had to do. And just her family, who some of them don't believe in God, really got to see what the church body does and means to the people of God, the children of God, and how we serve everyone. And it was just an amazing time. But we were leaving that funeral yesterday, and while we were at the graveside, you could see a storm way off in the distance. And as we were driving home, man, April said, "Is this not amazing?" She said, "You look at the right side of the car and it's beautiful and bright and the sun's shining and like not a worry, you know, going on. And it's beautiful." And I don't know about you, but I don't like being in a storm, but I love watching storms, right? That's what I liked about when I was in the Navy. We was on a boat. You could see for miles and you could just watch a storm go by and form and do what it does. And it was amazing, right? But yesterday we looked out this side of the car and that's all you saw. And we're like, how awesome is God that he created this? That our bodies function the way that they do, that everything happens, that there's an order to nature that's followed. Not because it said, "Hey, you're a dog, you're going to be a dog." No, that's not. It's followed because that's how God created it. Our God is amazing, and we can see him in that. The other way we can see God is in his miraculous intervention in the lives of men and women throughout history. You look in the scripture and all the people that God saved, touched, moved, worked through, used. You know what the biggest thing of all? God used me in my life. That's the biggest thing to me. But see, if you look around this room, there are miracles that are sitting in this room beside you. You just don't know it. You just haven't heard the testimony of what God has done in and through our lives. How do we see God? We see God in how he works in our lives and the lives of the people that are around us. Problem is, sometimes we don't look for them, so we don't see them. We're too busy to see those things. God, I can't find you. Have you looked for me in your situation, in your time? Most of all, we see God in his scripture. Again, I love what Chad Varga said. It is alive. I can read the same thing in Spain that someone else can read in America, and God can touch and move with the same scripture completely differently. Have you ever read the word of God one time and read a verse and then been reading it years later and be like, "Man, that's what that means. I get it now." Right? Finally landed. It's been circling all these years, no, right? It's one of those things that God's word is alive, and it helps us to see him, to know him, to meet him, to see the principles we need to use in the situations in our life. God is real, and he's there for us to see. As we by faith begin to understand God, the God in who we believe, we begin to understand a clearer picture of how awesome he really is. The more faith we put out, the more awesome he becomes in our life. The more we see, the bigger we're able to dream, the bigger area of our lives we give him. You start to think about his scripture when he said, "Let there be," and the universe was created, Genesis 1:3. Animals were formed, the skies, the ocean, just everything in this world was created by what? Him saying, "Let there be." Speaking it into existence. We see a God who parts the Red Sea so the Israelites can walk across on dry land and escape their enemy. Not on soggy swamp water, right? Y'all have swamps down here too, right? Soggy swamp water. Not like that. It says dry ground is what it said. And I believe that it was dry. I believe that it was dry. And then the people chasing them get swallowed up in the same spot. Why? Because we serve a big God. We see the walls of Jericho knocked down, a fortified city so that his people could conquer it. Joshua 6:20 is where that's at. And this is the thing. The walls that were there aren't any bigger than the walls that are in your life that God wants to take down if we give him the opportunity. If we believe, if we stand, if we walk in faith. But see, this is one of the things, and the Bible says it, just believing in God is not enough. To just believe in him. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is a God. Good. Even demons believe and they shudder. When Jesus came and we're casting some demons out, they said, have you come to torture us before our time? They knew exactly who he was. They knew exactly what's going to happen. And they believed. Believing is not enough. Number two, anyone who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of his people, that he rewards his people. James 1:5-7 says, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he would receive anything from the Lord. Again, man, I've been tossed around by some waves of the sea for 2.5 years. I know what that's like. I know what that really looks like. We have a little picture, but I've seen that. And this is the thing. Our lives sometimes get blown back and forth. Our lives are sometimes in crazy turmoil. And sometimes we're in the middle of the storm and Jesus calls us to walk to him in the middle of it like Peter. And then sometimes he just calms it and makes it go away. But both times he's there when you place your faith in him. When you allow him to do that. When you look to him and don't doubt. You know what my favorite part of that little part of scripture is? Is he gives generously. I couldn't say it last time either. Say that word. There you go. He does that to all without finding fault. So that means when I ask God, he doesn't say, man, you ain't been, you've jacked stuff up lately. I ain't giving you nothing. You don't receive from me. See, God blesses the people who come to him, but he also blesses people that don't deserve it. You know how I know that? Because he's given me grace, and I don't deserve it. But he looks at me and says, Toby, you're my son, and I want to give to you. I want to protect you. I want to keep you. You must believe and not doubt. Why? Because God is pleased to reward the faithful. He's pleased. He loves to give things to his children. I love giving things to my kids. I love it when my parents give stuff to me. Thanks, Ma. And you know what? They're pleased to do it. God is our Father, man. He wants to reward us. He wants to give us good things. He wants to take care of us. And this is what he says to do. Matthew 7:7-11. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? God is a giver. We learn giving from our Father. He gives to us when we don't deserve it. He sends his son to take care of our issues. He answers our prayers. He's a rewarder, and it pleases him to do that in our lives. We must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those. Number three, anyone who comes to God must believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him or diligently seek him. This speaks of like an active faith, not of a, like I spoke before, just a, okay, God, send me the stuff. I'll wait right here. It's pursuing him. It's pursuing those things. The scripture gives us Luke 11:5-10. There's a man that's knocking at his neighbor's door, in the middle of the night. Says, hey, man, I got this guy coming, a friend coming from out of town. I need you to help me. I need you to give me something to give to him. The answer is, I'm asleep. The door's locked. My kids are asleep. Leave me alone. But what happens? He keeps knocking. So what ends up happening in the story? Read it for yourself. You know what? I love what Pastor John said last week. I'm going to say that. I love what he said. He said, anytime anyone tells you anything's from the Word of God, go home and find out for yourself. When I speak it from here, when John speaks it from here, when you hear it on the TV or the radio or somebody else anywhere gives you something from the Word of God, go home and find it. Go home and find it. Because this is the thing, you'll stand in front of God for what you believe His Word says, not for what I've told you. I'll stand in front of God for what I've told you. That's how it works. Go home and find it. That's why I'm giving you these scriptures. Go home and look it up. Find it later. Take some notes. The man knocks and knocks and knocks. His friend says, all right, man, just take what you want. Just go. Just leave, right? Diligently. Or the woman intensely pleading her case before the judge over and over and over and over. And he says, if we give this to this woman, will she go away? Yes. Give it to her, right? Diligently seeking over and over and over. I had somebody tell me one time. I said, "Well, let's pray about it." They said, "Well, I've already prayed about it, man. And if I pray about it again, it shows I don't have faith in God." I said, "No, it means that you claim God's scripture over and over and over in your life. You believe the things that aren't as though they are. Faith." It's not name it and claim it. It's not like I'm getting this car and this. It's speaking God's word over yourself. Man, Jesus did that, right? Every temptation, every trial, everything that came to God, what came to Jesus when he walked the face of the earth, what did he do? He used scripture. The devil tempted him. He used scripture. Go to God over and over. Allow him to know your heart, to know that you believe, know that you're seeking him. And I want to ask you, tell you this too, diligently. So the word diligently, if there's a football player and he shows up to half the practices and doesn't learn the plays, is he a diligent player? No. If a student goes to school and they don't study and they don't put themselves and do the things they should do in school, are they diligent? An employee at work shows up late, leaves early, does half the work so that other people can do it, or does the job halfway just so he can say it was done. Is that diligent? I'm not trying to put works because that's not how any of this works, but if a Christian doesn't get in his word, doesn't spend time with God except for coming for an hour on Sunday, is he diligent? No. We need to be seeking God. That is something I learned from my father. Paul talks about pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean like we walk around in zombie prayer. Doesn't mean I can't take care of you, I'm talking to God. Doesn't mean that. What does it mean? Everything you do, you give to God in prayer. Man, my dad's praying and frozen peas are getting healed. You know, stuff happens because he's in Walmart praying. He's watching TV, praying in tongues, speaking, singing. The glory of God, watching TV. How does that work? Because he's diligently seeking God in his life. How does that work for you? You know what? For me, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes I get in such a hurry with my life that I have to stop because the only time I've talked to God was before I went to bed and before I ate my dinner. And other than that, he wasn't a part of my day. And I had to say, God, I'm sorry, man. I tried to do this on my own. Please, because this is the thing. There's nothing good inside me except for what God has given me. When I do things myself, it's not good. It's not. And it never works out unless he's a part of it. Seek God, not just for answers to prayer, but just to know him, just to get into his presence. That's why I love praise and worship, man. If you notice, almost every single song, actually every single song we sing is about God and how great he is and about how we cast our cares on him and scripture most of the time in the song are the scriptural principles about who God is, and we're speaking that over our lives as worship to God, saying, God, I know that this is who you are and what you want to do and what you want to be in my life. We need to get alone with God sometimes. Put on a CD. Pray with him while you're driving. Don't close your eyes. Do you know why we started holding hands as a family when I was a kid? Because I would climb on the table while everybody was praying and start eating, right? So we start holding hands. Get back here, sit down, we're praying, right? Why do I close my eyes? Because I get distracted. Why do I bow my head? Because I'm showing that as a sign to God. Do I have to do that to pray? Nope, I can be driving down the road and giving him my day on my way to work. I can be working and doing what I'm doing and talking to God about how thankful I am he's given me that job, or how thankful I am that he's put me in a place that people don't believe in him, so I can help share him with who I am and what I do and my witness. Not just talking, but working. Seek God's presence. Psalms 105, 3 and 4 says, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Always. Make him a part of everything that you do, your decisions, who you are. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13 says, you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Let's seek God with everything that we are, everything that we have, in every situation, the good ones and the bad ones. You know why we have to clean up a lot of messes in our life? Because we handle it ourselves before we go to God about them. And then sometimes we just don't listen to what he says when he tells us. I was talking to me on that one, not you guys. You guys don't do that. So receiving by faith from God is not difficult. Matter of fact, it's a privilege and a delight of God's to give to us. He loves to do that. He loves to give to his children. He loves to reward us when we come to him. So receiving by faith from God is not difficult. But there's three things we must do. We have to believe that he is, that he's there, that he exists. We must believe that the desire of God's heart is to reward the faithful. And three, we need to earnestly seek him, follow after him, desire to know him better, spend time with him in prayer, in worship, and in his word. And when we start doing those things and putting those things into play and into practice in our lives, the things that God will show us are amazing. The things that God will give to us, we can't even imagine. I said this the other day. I haven't told many people this, but I'm going to say this again, yeah. My life and what God has done with it in the last 18 years is crazy, right? If you'd have told me 18 years ago where my life would be, in fact, my dad did, and I laughed at him. If you give God an opportunity, his plans will be way better than you've ever dreamed. Now, not to take away from what Pastor John said last week, and it's a true statement. Because we're a child of God, we don't get a free pass on things. Jesus said the opposite. In this world, you'll have tribulations, you'll have problems, you'll have trials, but cheer up, I've overcome the world. And if he lives inside of you, you can overcome the world as well. By his strength, by his joy, by his peace. Would you guys close your eyes and bow your heads real quick? I want to ask you a question, first of all. Some of you in here may be like, man, you're talking about God and about how he wants to give to his children and how he wants to do this and he loves his children and I don't know that I'm a child of his. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You be honest and say, right now, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know that I'm his child. I've never given him that opportunity or that place. Maybe I've given it to him, but I've stepped away and I want to know that he is my Father in heaven. You be honest and say, that's me. Just put your hand up and put it back down. That's me. Thank you. Anyone else? I want to know that he's my Father and that he loves me. Anyone else? I want to say this prayer real quick. I want you guys to all repeat it with me out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins, the things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. I know that you love me, that I am your child, that you paid for me, for my forgiveness with your son Jesus. And I accept that now. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a minute. You be honest and say, I haven't really been diligently seeking him. I'm his child and I'm there and I know he loves me and I know he cares about me and he does give me good things. But when I look at the last week or the last month of my life and I look at how much time I've given God, I'm kind of embarrassed about where I'm at right now. And I want to give God my all. I want to diligently seek him. I want to go to him with everything first. Starting today, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to start focusing on him intentionally with who I am and what I do. You'd be honest, heads bowed, eyes closed. You'd say, that's me. That's me. I need to do that. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's easy to do. Sometimes in our schedule, it gets difficult, but we need to make the time. We need to focus on him. Heavenly Father, as we see you, Father God, as we see our time, our habits, the things that we do, how much we allow you to be part of our lives, right now, we want to say we're sorry, Father God. We want to put you in the place that you belong and take those other things out of your spot, Father God, and focus on you, spend time with you. Allow us to see you like never before. Your word says if we ask you according to your word, that we'll receive it, Father God. And I know that it's your will. I know it's your word that you want us to be in fellowship with you. We ask now that you would help us with that. Help us be diligent, Holy Spirit. Help us spend time with our Father and let him show us who he's created us to be. And I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys have a good week.